The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, May 8, 2011, at the 11 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was John 4, selected verses. The sermon was delivered by Meg Wilson, Director of Children's Ministries. And the title of the message was, Well Known.
Well, good morning. Thank you for letting me share with you this morning. As many of you know, I started seminary this fall. I don't know what possessed me. I think it was just the God finally tugging at my heart enough. But one of the joys and one of the challenges is having the chance to look at Scripture in a new way. Maybe not the way that I grew up hearing it in Sunday school or hearing it in messages that I've heard from the pulpit. So I invite you to hear this Scripture today with an open heart and with a clear mind. This is from the Gospel of John. Jesus came to a town in Samaria that was called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Whoever drinks this water will never be thirsty again. Whoever drinks this water that I give them will never be thirsty. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place that we must worship is in Jerusalem." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking to her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to people, "Come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of town and made their way toward him. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." The word of God for the people of God. So today is Mother's Day, a day that we think about and remember those that have shaped us, a day when we honor those women that have nurtured and paved the way for us. We recognize not only the women in our lives, the ones that have been our mothers, but also the other women, either past or present, who have brought love our way. I invite you for a moment to think about the women who have touched your heart. At some point in each of our personal histories, a woman Maybe it was your mother or a grandmother or a favorite teacher. One of those women has spoken up on your behalf. Most of us were blessed to have at least one woman who was willing to guide us towards goodness. We've been influenced by the women in our lives that have been courageous and willing to speak the truth. Now, some of these types of women surrounded Jesus as he walked and taught and served and healed. They were living witnesses to his ministry. Now, the scriptures that we heard this morning tells of women who interacted with Jesus. Now, following the resurrection, Mary Magdalene was the first person to have a direct conversation with Jesus. He saw her weeping outside the tomb and said, "Mary." In that moment, all of her confusion and all of her pain melted away. He spoke her name, and the world as she knew it was forever changed. In contrast, though, the woman at the well is never named. She has a voice, but no name. She is referred to by her location or her ethnic background, but never by name. Today, she might be called the woman outside Kroger's or that Muslim woman. But it's interesting to note, actually, that the Gospels say that her encounter with Jesus was the longest conversation that Jesus had with another person in the entire Bible. Yet she simply is called the nameless Samaritan woman. And history has set the stage for her story. Hostility and hatred between the Samaritans and the Jews ran deep. Over the centuries, they had been living a history of deep prejudice and terrible aggression towards each other. Old and firm religious beliefs and unsolvable political conflicts made it impossible for these two groups to meet on common ground. The Samaritan woman comes to the well with full knowledge of all the hatred and all the restrictions placed upon her. She stands here at the well of her ancestors, the source of water that was the common meeting place for so many stories in the Bible, at the well where Jacob had met Rachel. It is the place where Hagar saw the angel. Now, I don't know about you, but most of the ways I've heard this story talked about, and most of the Bible commentators have portrayed this woman at the well as an outcast, a woman with a questionable lifestyle, a woman who probably made lots of poor choices. She had five husbands, and she's not married to the man she's currently living with. But we don't know whether those five husbands died or whether they divorced her. In those days, a man had a right to divorce a woman if she had not given birth to any children. Multiple marriages had surely drained her of any dowry, making her so poor that she simply could not afford to get married again. Her situation was not necessarily unique in her day. If you wanted to survive as a woman, you had to have a man, husband or not. The poorer you were, the less likely you were to be able to afford to get married. Remarrying was what you had to do as a woman for protection, for basic survival. A woman alone did not count for anything. So I invite you to consider the possibility that maybe it's not her lack of morals or her bad decisions that have damaged her, but maybe it's her lack of status that has kept her impoverished. According to the customs, it was not appropriate for a man, and certainly not a rabbi, to interact with a woman. A woman had no rights and was not recognized in their culture. She remained a nameless Samaritan woman at the well in the hot afternoon sun. But it's Jesus. It's Jesus that makes the first contact by requesting, "Give me a drink of water." It is Jesus who breaks the first cultural barriers. Now, she doesn't ignore him or run away, but she instead directly addresses him. The conversation goes back and forth from history to religious practices, and Jesus starts talking about the living water. And the woman's trying to keep up, and she's thinking, is he talking about the water from Jacob's well? But she's brave, and she responds by finding her voice and daring to question his authority. Jesus offers the woman living water, water which if you drink, you'll never be thirsty again, water that gushes up into a spring of eternal life. She is intrigued by what he is offering. And then mid-conversation, Jesus changes everything. He switches the conversation all around, and he stops and he looks beyond what his upbringing has taught him to see. And Jesus sees the woman for who she really is. He knows her. He knows the rejection and the poverty she has suffered. He tells her all about her life. He doesn't scold her or condemn her. He sees beyond the cultural and religious bias. And perhaps for the very first time in her life, she has been seen for her true self. Someone has bothered to know her and not reject her. She is no longer invisible to the world around her. She doesn't run away. She doesn't deny reality in front of Jesus. In her mind, Jesus must be a prophet, for he is able to see the truth and give voice to it, just as the prophets of old had done. Now, this nameless woman, she gets a little feisty. She gets a little bolder, and she asks him political questions about which mountain is the right place to worship God and about who historically has claimed the land. And they go on discussing what defines true and false worship. And Jesus is fully engaged in a spiritual dialogue with this woman, telling her those that who worship must come seeking spirit and truth. He rejects the bias that for century has created a history of division. The Samaritan woman ignores the boundaries that she's been taught, and she's willing to be in a theological discussion with this Jewish rabbi. She's heard of the Messiah, and she knows when he comes that he will make things clear to all people. And then it happens, the aha moment in the Gospel of John. It's the first time in this gospel, and it's right here in this story, right here at this old well, to a nameless Samaritan woman. Jesus, for the first time, reveals who he is. Jesus says to her, "I am he. I am the Messiah." At a well, in the middle of nowhere, the Son of God reveals his true self for the first time, and he reveals it to a woman, an outsider, somebody who should be considered the enemy. Wow. She also sees beyond the barriers of tradition and her own prejudice. And it all comes together for her, and she recognizes who Jesus truly is. And they will never be the same again after this encounter at the well. Without the courage to cross over the boundaries and enter into dialogue, the Samaritan woman's life would not have been changed. She would have been coming to that well day after day after day, carrying the heavy water jugs, just like she had carried the pain of oppression and rejection for all those years. She not only exhibits the courage to look beyond the biased, but to actually respond to Jesus' request, and she continues to engage in dialogue with him. I wonder, when we have the opportunity to step over boundaries, do we have the courage? Are we willing to see beyond the surface, beyond what we have been conditioned to believe? We struggle to overcome our own biases and to discover a common ground with others. The Samaritan woman reminds me of a woman I know about that lives in Nashville, who taught a friend of mine's congregation about biases and willingness to overcome barriers. She understood more about theology and the message of Christ than any preacher the members of this congregation could ever remember. This woman's name is Fayette, a woman who lives mostly on the streets. She occasionally spends a few nights in a shelter, and she struggles with multiple disabilities and with severe mental illness. She loves to come to church, and she's especially enthralled with the celebration of baptism. She makes a point to sit up front in the very first row in church when she saw there was going to be a baptism. She just loved to see those babies and to hear the pastor ask, "What name is given this child?" She decided that she wanted to be baptized, that she wanted to be given a name in faith. So she went to the groups to join and to become baptized. And she would ask the group over and over again, "And when I'm baptized, who will I be?" And everyone soon learned to respond, "Fayette Marie, precious daughter of God and beautiful to behold." "Oh, yes," she'd say, and smile from ear to ear. Well, the big day came, and Fayette was ready. She was dressed in her very best. Now, she wasn't having any of that Presbyterian sprinkle the water on the head. No way, not for her. She wanted the whole face full. And so that's how she was baptized, face first. And she came up sputtering and crying and said, "And now I am named?" And everyone said in unison, "Fayette Marie, precious daughter of God and a beauty to behold." "That's me," Fayette Marie shouted, and she danced around the front of the sanctuary. 2 months later, the pastor got a call. Fayette had been badly beaten and was in the county hospital. Pastor Janet went to see her in the emergency room. And when she got closer to the cubicle, she could hear a voice saying, "I am Fayette Marie." And Fayette turned and she saw the pastor, and she said in a stronger voice, "I am Fayette Marie, precious daughter of God." And then she caught sight of herself in the mirror with her hair sticking up and blood and tears streaking down her face and her dress torn and dirty. And she took a deep breath and she started again. "I am Fayette Marie, precious daughter of God, and God is still with me. And if you come back later, I'll be so beautiful, I'll take your breath away." Christ speaks to us today just like he spoke to Fayette, like he spoke to Mary Magdalene, like he spoke to the woman at the well. And yet often we try to avoid it. We try to stop the dialogue. It's hard for us to respond positively when Jesus makes a request of us, like stop and help that person, or take more time to pray, or listen more carefully. Are we willing to respond positively when Jesus requests something of us? It's hard to take risks and to step out in faith. Are we willing to try something new, even when it's not convenient, even when it's uncomfortable for us? Are we willing to accept that God sees us for who we really are, and not just the masks we wear or the public persona we present? And yes, God speaks to us sometimes through the Fayettes, through the women at the well, through the Mary Magdalenes, people that we would expect him not to use. And when we're able to leave behind more than the heavy jugs of water, but leave behind the heavy jugs of our issues, of our negative messages, of our own pain, of all the burdens that we carry, we've carried them for far too long, don't you think? Like the disciples who witnessed Christ reach across the barriers, we need to learn to love those who we've been taught to dismiss or to fear. And like the Samaritan villagers, we need to hear God's message. And then our hearts and our hands will be free, and we'll be truly able to accept that we are known by God. And then maybe we'll have the courage to go out like Mary Magdalene, or like the Samaritan woman at the well, or like Fayette Marie, and like all of our sisters in Christ. And we will be able to share the good news of God's amazing love for us. We are known and we are loved. Let it be so. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.